All right, we do have quorum, but we'll just give it about 2 more minutes for everybody else to get here. Today, we're supposed to have Sylvan as the recorder, but I don't see them yet. So Taylor, you're next on the list in case they are not here.
It sounds good. I'm just going to briefly go over the duties really quick. It's straightforward, right? It's like taking minutes and then future action items.
You don't have to take minutes, but yeah, just anything that we want on a action item, you will just make note of that.
Okay.
Cool. And I put the link there for the recorder list, rotation list doc, and in that document is the parking lot link in case we add things to it.
Gotcha.
And I just dropped the director's report in. And as we begin the updates, I'll drop it in again.
Sounds good. Thank you. Well, we'll go ahead and get started here in just a sec. All right. Well, hello, everyone. Let's get started. We're missing a couple of folks. I haven't heard from them whether that they weren't going to attend, so I'm assuming they're just going to be a little tardy. But we'll go ahead and do our intros. This is the January 5th Citizen Review Committee meeting. I am Candace Avalos, she, her pronouns, and I'm the CRC chair. And we're going to have Taylor, Greg, and Amanda give their intros.
Taylor Snell, CRC member, he, him pronouns, live in Selwood. I don't know if we're doing that neighborhood, but.
Yeah, do that. I forgot mine, but yes, do it.
Yeah. So I live in Selwood.
Northeast Portland for me. Go ahead, Greg.
Howdy, everybody. Greg Griffin. Let's see. I live in North Portland, CRC member, and glad to see everyone's face again. Thank you.
Amanda Greenvoss, she, her pronouns, Southeast Portland, CRC member.
Julie, Jessica, you may.
Julie Falk, Southwest Portland, CRC member.
Jessica Katz, she, her pronouns, I'm a CRC member and I live in Northeast Portland.
Yume Delegado, he, him, CRC member.
Vadim and Irene.
Irene Konev, IPR Outreach Coordinator.
Hi, everybody. Vadim Mazursky, CRC member, living in inner Southwest Portland. Good to see you.
All right. Members of the audience, please feel free to use the chat feature to introduce yourselves. Make sure to select the everyone button That way everyone on the panel here and in the meeting can see what you have posted. And actually the director's report was only sent to hosts and panelists, Irene. So let's
I just resent it. Sorry. Thank you for alerting me to that.
No worries. Okay. Well, let's see. As we've established, Taylor is going to go ahead and be recorder for now. And we do have one set of minutes to approve, which is our October 6th, 2021 minutes. So are there any changes anyone wants to make? And if not, I would hear a motion to approve them. Comes Kira.
I move that we approve the minutes as submitted.
Okay, do I have a second?
A second.
All right, moved by Yume, seconded by Jessica. I'll do a vote here once I write that down. All right, so I am going to vote aye. Julie.
Abstain.
Okay. Vadim.
Abstain.
Greg.
Aye.
Yume.
Yeah.
Yes, aye.
Amanda.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Kira.
Aye.
And Jessica.
Aye.
All right, with a vote of 7 ayes, 2 abstentions, and no nays, that has passed. Moving on. Okay. We're going to go into the IPR report. As I understand, Ross and Dana both had some family emergencies to tend to. So, Irene, will you be taking that on? Irene, if you're talking, I can't hear you.
I'm just checking to see if Dana's actually joining us. I want to ask the community, is there only one person on the phone, and that's you, Dan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. So the director's report is in the chat. We have updates on the our work plan, some community outreach, and we are also kind of coming to a close on our equity training. Well, we did for 2021, but the equity training continues. At this point, we don't have a next hearing date with Judge Simon. It hasn't been scheduled yet on the DOJ side. And there is a lot of data in the section, the bottom section of their report. It's in the chat box. So if you have any questions, feel free to let me know, and I'll see what I can do to answer them. And I think David's going to be joining us shortly.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Sorry, give me one second. I think there's someone at my door. One second.
Hey, Sylvan, do you want me to do the recorder duties this time and then you do February, or do you want this month?
Oh my God, I thought I checked and wasn't up this month. So sorry if I spaced on that. That would be great if we could switch. I'm sorry, I really thought I was on top of that. And I'm late now because we had a glass break and had to keep all the pets out of the room, vacuum. It was a whole thing. So sorry, I'm all flustered and late.
No
stress.
Yeah, so I got it.
Thank you so much. Okay, I will do next month.
Cool. I'll fix that in the thing here. Okay, apologies. I had to run off. Somebody delivered some tasty treats and I forgot they were going to do that. So that's what I was doing. All right. So we have done the IPR report. Let's see, my report. Don't really have much. I haven't had any meetings since the last time that we met. So no reports from about conversations with electeds or anything like that. I think that coming into this new year, things that we can look forward to are the new Police Accountability Board, the board that's putting together the what will become the board. They did have their first meeting in December and are going to start meeting regularly. I need to get an update from them on where everything is, and it's on my to-do list to check in with that group. So we'll just kind of keep an eye on that and see what our role will be in their process. But I'm sure in the coming weeks that will become more clear. So that's one thing to keep in mind. We have an appeal next month. I'm not sure if there's any others in the queue, but you know, for sure we'll be doing that next month. And then we can talk about any other kinds of big picture things that we want to accomplish in these meetings on the non-appeal months. Today should be a pretty short, simple meeting. We just have a report out from Greg. Thank you, Greg, for attending NACOL conference. And we're excited to hear what you have to say about that. And then we'll just talk a little bit about the new rules around HB insert numbers, I can't remember, on in-person meetings. But just wanted to put on everyone's radar that to start thinking about, you know, what are things that folks are interested in bringing to our larger group. I am open to hearing those as I don't have 100% clarity on what upcoming months, what we want to accomplish in upcoming months. So I'm asking for us all to brainstorm together on what we want to accomplish. So that is my report. And with that, we'll go into new business. And Greg attended the NACOL conference. NACOL stands for National Association. Oh no, I had it and then I don't. NACOL. Greg, you're gonna tell us what it stands for. Police stuff. And Greg is going to share with us what he learned. So take it away.
Unmute. Oh, thank you. I was very excited to get to the NAPO. And really, it was extremely interesting for me that what it was about and how it works out that so many people around the country are actually looking forward to try and actually track how we talk to police, how we actually work with the police, and actually how we actually continue to evolve around. You know, there were things around, there were like 32 online classes. I tried to attend as many as I could. I think I got to 20. And then we were talking about, you know, resistance and law enforcement and the, how we can actually, what risk management also and policies. I don't know if we have do anything about risk management here. But it was a really interesting conversation about risk management and the overall how we treat citizens as human beings according to law enforcement. How sometimes we forget that how law enforcement is actually not so some king about treating the people that they police as human beings when they actually interact with them. How they actually just go for the action of actually detaining kind of just ignoring how that people are people and that we actually know that that police are people as well and trying to actually find out how we can actually have that conversation about what's going on with each other instead of actually this combative nature that we have constantly that we're always fighting with people that that we put in charge to actually help us police ourselves. And it was really an interesting conversation around that. And and how we use looking at my little notes here, and how the conversation actually about, you know, comfort zones for the past, and actually how we interact. I mean, some of the course titles, I'll give you some of the course titles that actually I attended, and they were, there was one around some of the legislation win that we had that were actually around officers' decertifications, the duties to intervene with the I can't breathe phenomenon that happened, and there was a talks around the infiltration of white supremacy and law enforcement, and how we're actually to find ways to get those people out of law enforcement. It seemed to be a difficult thing that no one was actually had a great way of actually trying to get them out, but actually or a litmus test that actually gets anyone out. I don't know how anyone else feels about those. And then we were about the effective oversight through innovation and technology, and using technology to actually help us get more help our law enforcement move faster in certain things and out of certain things, especially when the mental health. And also maintaining, you know, also there's a big class about maintaining enthusiasm about in the face of all the resistance and pushback we get from trying to make changes within our own cities. And there were lots of police chief that actually showed up too, that actually explained to try to actually help us actually understand what's going on in their part of the conversation as well. And that was really really thought for me. The Chicago oversight is was an interesting topic that actually showed a lot of progress and moving forward and trying to actually get the police involved with the neighborhoods and going back to kind of a neighborhood introduction to the people who are actually patrolling those particular places. And also there's a discussion around jail time and what we thought about, what the thoughts were around getting people back into society from jails, and actually how that actually works out, and the incarceration rate was also a part of that. And there's, that last part ended up on racial equality, and there was like a two-part thing on that. And there was a big one that was, there's another one actually was covering LGBT community and how we actually interact with those with that group of people, as well as police recommendations. And there was a one that I thought was really interesting was, well, where's all the money go for all the police funding go? So, and that was really interesting to see that a lot of people didn't actually have a great idea about what was going on, or I don't know if we in our city know exactly what all the funding that comes in and goes out and where it goes, and how we actually manage to stay oversight on that and look at it and keep the interest in our interest in actually keeping our police transparency as much as possible, to say, hey, well, you know, how do we, you know, what are you spending these dollars on, and why are they going here instead of there? That was a really great conversation as well. So basically that's it. Trying to do a quick review of that for you. Does anybody have any questions about anything I thought I might've read or thought I might've known? Yep.
Thank you, Greg. I'm wondering, you know, what stood out to you that could be something we should look into here in Portland? I one thing that you just said about the budget, I mean, that could be something that we could spend some time doing, just looking into Portland's budget and raising, you know, having people come talk to us about it. And providing a platform to talk about that could be interesting. But were there any other things that you thought, oh, we should bring that conversation back to Portland?
So that was one of the things, especially the funding up around that, and around, there was one about ombudsman for prisons. I don't know if we actually talked to people about this or not, or what, would we have anything that, does that even come to a conversation with us? But we had a lot of, that was something that interested me about you know, we have people actually getting out of jail and coming into the city. What do we do about all the recidivism rate and all that kind of thing too? I don't know if that actually concerns us or not, but and all the also the oversight view of how we oversight of accountability. I don't know if we actually are we really. I didn't see anything about that in with us, and that can we bring it back and talk about it, those are the things I actually found interesting for me.
Go ahead, Amanda.
Yeah, Greg, you were talking about looking at the Chicago's review board model. Is there a newer, like, are they, did this meeting kind of hold them up on as a good model of doing it? And if so, is there a possibility to connect them with this new group that's creating our new board?
Yes. So they were, everyone was, all the new people, between DC and Chicago, they had great innovations about actually people reaching out to them and talking to them about how they were doing things and how things were actually, and they had much more input into what was going on, into the directives that were actually being created. So yes, yeah, so I have names of those people as well. So I would gladly share them with anyone. So, and anyone else have anything I can actually add, or did I make anything clear? Was I stuttering too much?
I can't think of any other questions. Anyone else have other questions? Well, thank you, Greg, for attending and absorbing all that knowledge. Definitely in the coming months, if there are things that, you know, trigger your memory of the conversation you had or something you learned at the NACOL conference, please do let us know. And I'm sure you have a wealth of resources that you got and notes, and however you want to share that with the group would be great. Maybe we could do a drop into the Google Drive. I've got a folder in our public folder that's just police resources, and it's just a ton of different PDFs of different studies and all that. And just FYI, that's there if you didn't know that was there. So maybe you could drop some things in there, or, you know, however else you want to share that back with us.
Great. I'll drop whatever I have in there and I'll label it NACOL.
Perfect. Okay. And let me just put this in here. This is the folder, and it's a public folder anyone can see. So that's the resources that I've just compiled at some point and put in there. Okay. Thank you. Let's go ahead and move on to our last agenda item. So I forwarded you all the email that came from Tom Reinhart, CAO of the city, that explained what's going on with the implementation of HB. I know you put the number in the chat, 2560, which essentially is just changing the requirements of how Oregon public meeting law is met in this new virtual hybrid type world. And it also just kind of shared general where the city is headed as far as what their plan is for return to in-person things, whether that's work or meetings. So yeah, it's kind of an open-ended thing. I'm not 100% sure how to approach the conversation other than to first just kind of put that out there and see if folks had any initial gut reactions or questions from the information that Tom shared with the city. Okay. I would also love to hear from you, Irene, and maybe some guidance around, you know, what you might be seeing from other groups. I don't really have a pulse on that. And especially now with the Omicron variant just being really contagious. And I know I've had lots of friends with breakthrough cases. And so I'm seeing things start to re-shut down. And so it's also the timing is probably not great as far as moving to in-person stuff, because I think we're going into another, you know, period of shutdown, or at least people making decisions to not do in-person things to be safe during this uptick. So what's your sense on the pulse of where people are headed?
Well, the city folks like myself who coordinate advisory bodies are starting to meet in January. We haven't met yet with a whole group of us who are trying to figure this out. And what there's two things we're working on. One is how do we collaborate as a city and create space for folks to be able to attend meetings. So basically this law, it comes into effect in January, and the city and government bodies need to provide a space for public to show up to the meeting. And then of course, testimony, to be able to share testimony. So we are looking at meeting spaces from just meeting this new law as it comes into effect. Obviously, you know, getting a space within the city would make the most sense, but we're also trying to approach it from an equity perspective and see if there's a way to have these meeting spaces in the community. And I have been doing the research about meeting spaces at, you know, in the city, as well as meeting spaces out in the community. And for those of you who may have been with us for a while, might remember how we had, you know, meetings, CRC meetings at Rosewood Initiative, at Charles Jordan Center, and all these spaces where it was more accessible to the community. So we're meeting and trying to figure this out as a, you know, as a collective body to make this happen. And at this point, we don't actually have a meeting space figured out, but there are a lot of conversations, and we're going to continue to work with this. One other piece that I've been working on, and as we're in these meeting spaces, is to talk about safety of our public when they show up to our meeting spaces. And obviously when the CRC come together in person to have safety as well. And so whichever meeting space we do come up with, we will have to pay for security and also pay for custodial work. So it's a budget item. But we are factoring it in as we write our new budget. If anyone has any questions, I did post the bill. It's not a very big bill. It's like a one pager. So feel free to review it and, you know, whatever it is that you all decide and when you feel comfortable gathering, it's totally up to you. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to try to find a space where public can view the meetings and, you know, comply with the new House bill.
And Irene, I'm trying to understand. Oh, sorry. Trying to understand what the law actually entails. It says one place or an electronic means. So if we're doing it by Zoom, is that the electronic means?
Yes.
Okay. And so what space are you trying to get in order for the public to participate in?
Well, right now, the most feasible space is, of course, the Portland building, because it's new and it's got all those meeting spaces. But, you know, as you can imagine, there are a lot of different meetings that are happening at different times, and we're going to have to figure out how we do that.
Oh, so that's for when we're back to in-person?
And not like, so your meetings are happening now, but we have to have a space where people can come into another meeting space, or like to be able to engage freely and easily with your meetings.
I think the idea is for folks who don't have access to Zoom to be able to view it from where they are, that they can come to this common space to have access.
Well, there's the Zoom issue, and then, you know, spotty internet. Not everybody can have fluid internet that's going to help them engage. Sometimes people have to go somewhere else. And it goes into effect January 30th. Yes.
And so the interpretation of the law is that even if Zoom is available, that people still need a physical place to go to participate in case they can't use Zoom, like on a cell phone or over. Really? Okay.
So Irene, if I'm understanding correctly, as long as we're remote, we have to have a physical anchor. That's what we were just talking about. But if we go back to in person, we also have to have a hybrid option for people to attend remotely, correct? Doesn't this cut both ways?
That's a really good question.
The only reason I asked this is when the Oregonian wrote about it, or the Mercury, or one of these bodies, they were mainly highlighting the fact that all meetings had to be hybrid now.
That's how I'm interpreting it too, but yeah, definitely we should get clarity on that.
Yes, we will keep updating you as we move through this, because obviously the next meeting is the crowd control and the policy and outreach, which is tomorrow. We won't be able to set anything up like that, but you know, in the coming months, we're gonna have to figure this out. And we're not the only ones. The city is trying to figure out a way to move forward.
I seem to remember us talking about this before. So, you know, the room in the Portland building where the CRC used to have their meetings, I had one meeting there before it got closed. It was pretty spacious. It had like the kind of crescent type shaped table where the CRC was, and then there was the seating. What's up with that room? Because I feel like you told us, or some of you told us at one point, that room's still available, that it might have some like virtual options to make it easy to do a hybrid thing in that room. What's the latest on that?
So just the week before all of us were sent to work from home, we did have a meeting scheduled to go see the room that has been renovated. And of course we had to go home. So I personally never saw the room, but I did, I was told that there are two meeting rooms on the main floor, and those meeting rooms are large. The rooms would have everything we could possibly need for in-person meetings and remote meetings.
Okay. And is IPR prepared to pay for like technology that we might need? I know there's like new emerging technology to make hybrid stuff easier. I don't personally know all the details on it, but you're factoring that into your budget ask as well?
Yes, we are.
Okay. It sounds like the most, from the way I see it, the most immediate thing that's going to happen, I don't imagine we're magically going to all be in person come January 30th, but if how we're interpreting the law to be true, where we would have to have some, you know, in-person option, what's your sense of what that would mean? Like, does that mean the room, like for example, the room we were using in City Hall for our meetings, like, you know, Irene, you would have to like sit in that room and like have a screen that has all of us on Zoom, and then it's just open for the public. Like, is that, I'm just trying to picture it. What is that? What do you think that looks like?
Well, for me, when I think about us having a space that the CRC meetings actually are live streamed from, I would show up to that space. From how I would do it, that I'm not going to speak for anyone else. If there's another person that leads these meetings and supports these meetings, I couldn't speak for them. But for me personally, I would love to be in that space, meet with community, help people who show up feel more comfortable. Hopefully we will draw different attendees to this meeting. And I'm going to work my hardest to try to work on getting these meetings to be the most accessible to the community, because so many people have told me over the years they do not want to come to City Hall. And so I'm going to work my best to try to get the spaces where it's most convenient for community to show up.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Ime.
I was just going to say, it seems like the technology, if the rest of us are remote, it seems like the technology for community access wouldn't be too difficult. You know, I mean, you probably want something more elegant than this, but you could show up with an iPad, right? And let people testify. I think the question that's a little bit more complicated in my mind is, what does this look like if we eventually go back to in-person hearings? You know, how are we going to live stream that and then let people testify remotely? But I'm sure that they're developing some sort of technology for that.
I actually find that less hard, honestly. I don't think it would be too hard to have just something that's videotaping us, right? I mean, we normally had like the mics for the recorder and we had them strewn across the whole table so that everybody could be heard. We could have similar, you know, do that kind of thing so that everyone, when they're speaking, it can be heard clearly on the whatever Zoom type thing. And then also when people, you know, raise their hand in Zoom, let's say, and then speak just like they do in the Zoom meeting, we would just hear it on the screen. That's probably, at least that's how I'm imagining it would work. So we can make it work no matter what. I think the harder thing is actually the mix of that. Like if there's CRC members who want to be in person and others want to stay on Zoom, that to me is the harder scenario. But if it's like we are all in one place, whether it's virtual or in person, I think that wouldn't be so hard to accommodate.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I've been in several meetings where some of the committee members are there in person in this meeting space and they're socially distanced wearing masks. And then some members of this committee are on the screen. So, you know, I think there's many ways to do this. And what we would wanna do is make sure that you are most comfortable and feeling most safe from the COVID pandemic that we're living through.
Yeah. What are people's in general feelings? I mean, we kind of do a temperature check on this, it feels like every month, but what are people's feelings on, you know, your urge or desire to do our meetings in person? Like, let me just get a checkup on where people are at.
So I still fall on the side of a hybrid. And I mean, getting to know people in a room would be great, but the distancing thing now and the with the new variant, I just think that it's best to stay in these little windows for a little bit longer for all of us for, on the outturn. I mean, I know getting back to driving down and doing all those parking things that actually require us to go inside and see to meet together will be a hassle and something new for some of us to relearn. But I mean, that is it's a big relearning thing, curve there so for a lot of us. And I am more leaning on the side that we can hybrid it all until then. And then after, I would prefer that we meet after February. That way we would know exactly what's going on. We'd have reassured. I would feel better. That's it.
Yeah. And yeah. There's one more thing that I wanted to add to this conversation, and that is that we also received guidance from Tom Reinhardt about vaccination cards. And so at some point, not now, obviously, but all volunteers, contractors, employees, and anyone who has contact with the city has to have their vaccine cards and like has to be uploaded. So, you know, that's just that what just wanted to put that out there that at some point we're going to be chatting about that too.
That is good to know. Thank you.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead. You sorry.
Mean. Okay. I was just going to say, echoing what Greg said, I think this system seems to be working. And it does not seem like a brilliant time to be going back in person in the middle of this Omicron surge or whatever. I am cognizant of the fact that we serve the city, though. And so if we decide as a group that the public's best interest is served by meeting in person, then we need to take steps towards that. I think personally, you know, city council is still meeting remotely, right? And I would kind of expect that a body like that would lead the way in terms of determining what a hybrid model is going to look like and what the technology deployment would be like for that. So I'm not in any rush to go back in person. I think, you know, I think this works fine. And I'd like to see somebody else do it, I guess, before we decide if that's going to be a system that works for us.
Yeah, I had to go to City Hall yesterday, and it was my first time driving down to City Hall to fit. Yeah, it's terrible. I don't want to do that. Just being honest, I used to work at PSU, so I would just walk on down to City Hall, but it ain't like that anymore. So it's going to be a transition for sure. Amanda, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the same thing. I'm not ready to go back in person. I've just pulled my kids out of high school. They're homeschooling, not homeschooling, but they're doing school remotely again because our case numbers are so high at Cleveland. And so I'm not ready for sure. I think it's a bad time. And I think everybody's kind of teasing themselves that it's not.
Okay, go ahead, Amy.
Oh, I was also going to say, I think from a deployment schedule, you know, the two hybrid models that we were talking about are a lot easier to deploy if we're all in person or we're all remote. So, I mean, unless there's a real need there, it doesn't seem like we should be expending city resources trying to come up with a, you know, an Oprah style thing where half of us are on iPad taped to chairs and half of us are in person. So I think it's my vote would be for an all or nothing thing once we've determined what the safe methodology is.
So in order to comply with this new law, it sounds like no matter what, by January 30th, we're going to need to figure out a physical space where these meetings get streamed. It doesn't seem like we're even 3 months, within the next 3 months, we're going to be doing any in-person meetings. As far as like us committee members going to an in-person meeting. So what are the next steps in your eyes, Irene, as far as like, is this something where you're gonna look for the February meeting to reserve a space? And like, yeah, what are your next steps?
That is exactly what we're working on, trying to figure out a space where folks can attend. I've submitted several applications in community spaces as well, but it's all up to timing, and we do have two evening meetings. So that is the goal at this point, whether we're successful with that or not, because as an entire city, other advisory bodies are working on that as well. So, but we'll definitely keep you posted. It's going to be a big chunk of my time right now to try to figure this out.
And this also applies to our work groups, right?
Yes.
Okay. Whew. Yeah, that's going to be, it's going to be tough. Okay. Is there anything else we need to discuss on this? I mean, it seems like the steps are clear and that's pretty much all we can do at this point. Is there anything else the group wants to hear or Irene, you need us to know?
That is all on my end.
Last thing that I will just say, another layer we need to think about is whether the appellant, how we're communicating to appellants on what their option is. And in a situation where we're all on Zoom and the appellant wants to be in person, like how are we gonna like deal with that? So, are we going to reach out to the February appellant and figure that out soon? Or can you let us know soon what they want to do?
Yep. Thank you for bringing that up. That is something we are working on as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I just think making sure that we have a safe and secure site is going to be really important. Cause I mean, we're in the middle of winter here. So wherever Irene is streaming from or whoever is going to be overseeing this is going to be getting out at 9 o'clock at night, you know, after an appeal like this. We don't want people feeling unsafe having to go home from, you know, an empty community center or something. So I hope the security considerations are being taken into consideration.
Absolutely. That is a big priority, to make sure that whatever space we create, it is as physically safe, emotionally safe as possible.
Irene, do you think that Ross or Dana are intending to be in person with you?
You know, I don't know, because this just came up so recently. We have not had an in-depth discussion about it. But I do anticipate that we will be talking about it next week or the week after. So.
Okay. Okay. Great. Well, we'll figure it out. Thank you, Irene. That is the new and old business. Any other things for new and old business people wanted to bring up? Okay, then we can move into work group reports. Policy outreach, you all want to start us off?
Hi, everybody. The latest is we have met with three groups that have been working with body-worn cameras. The New Orleans Police Oversight, Community Police Oversight Entity, the Beaverton Police Department, as well as the Gresham Police Department, and try to gather best practices, what kind of community responses they've had to the body-worn cameras, if any. Some have done studies as to community feedback and what that was like, what sort of challenges that they've had in implementing that, what sort of oversight they're using to make sure that there's compliance, and also what kind of safeguards to ensure that there's no misuse, editing, or dissemination of information that might be sensitive. Those are kind of the highlights. There's certainly some commonality, a little bit of differences as to the release of that information, whether police officers have the ability to review the body-worn cameras before making statements. The various entities have discussed the pros and cons of that. And next meetings, to whatever extent there's time amongst the priorities in the group, will be to bring people on board to review that information and provide synopsis and then possible recommendations down the road as to best practices. There's been a couple members of the group that have voiced a desire to bring other matters forward. And so we'll try to balance those needs with the current projects that are in place. That's it.
Great. Thank you, Vadim. Recurring audit, any updates?
We don't have any updates at this time.
Okay, and then for crowd control and use of force. So at our December meeting, we created this one pager that I'm dropping in the chat here. The intention of this is to be a resource for all of us to use when reaching out and talking to the commissioners that we liaise with, which is also a reminder that we want to get that going in this next couple of months. I'll send another email that kind of just explains what that all means. And I'll send it to the commissioners as well so that they have a heads up that you all will be coming. But please do work with all of you are buddied up with a commissioner. So get yourselves organized so that you can get a schedule going. And that one pager is a resource to be able to talk about that report that we did. Obviously the members of the crowd control use force know it inside and out, but for all the other folks, it's a way to just highlight the main things that we want to communicate to commissioners about what we accomplished in that report and what we expect after the report. So just let us know if you have any questions, but it's a pretty good overview and then you can just give it to the commissioners directly. The links are all in our public folder, so you can share that link.
Candace, we've met, we've been meeting regularly with Commissioner Maps, and is there a time to update kind of folks on what their interests are or what we've been talking about?
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe we can talk about that quickly after we do this report. Does that sound good? You want to give a quick update?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do that. So the crowd control use of force work group, next week, our meeting, we are bringing in ACLU, the ACLU executive director, And Kelly Simon, whose position I'm not remembering off the top of my head, but Sandy Chung and Kelly Simon will be attending our meeting. They are coming and going to do a presentation on what laws are going to be enacted this year that were passed in the last legislative session related to crowd control and use of force. Thank you, the legal director. Thank you. And so just to kind of for us to have an update and just have a discussion around that as we as a work group talk about what we want to do in this year, what we want to pursue. So we'll just have a group discussion and see if there's any ways that we can collaborate. Part of the reason that we wanted to bring them on is that, you know, we obviously wrote that report about the 2020 protests. ACLU had their own report that they wrote. And we wanted to just kind of combine forces and talk about that and see if there's ways that we can move that those initiatives and those goals forward. And then we'll spend some time talking about our goals for the year. What we've talked about so far is spending these next couple of months doing more of things like this, meeting with key partners to discuss ways that we can collaborate and work on diving in a little bit deeper on directives and possibly making some more recommendations for directives. So those are some of the things we're going to talk about and the direction we're headed as a work group. I miss anything, work group members? Cool. All right. Great. So yeah, let's do an update. First, who else has been meeting with folks? So, and Julie, who is also meeting with MAPS?
Jessica and Vadim.
Okay. Has anyone else met with commissioners? Okay. So yeah, go ahead and let us know what's the latest.
Jessica and Vadim and I have been meeting with Commissioner MAPS, and Vadim you weren't here at the Monday meeting, and I owe you some notes from that. I'll get that to you. The first thing we did was Vadim had sent some good notes on the body cam conversations, and so we updated Commissioner MAPS and his staff on where we are with that, and he was excited about you know the conversation that we've had and kind of eager for us to have a recommendation. And so I think we're going to talk about that at our meeting tomorrow. Definitely kind of pushing us on the timeline for that. And so I'm not sure if that will work out or not, but they're definitely very interested. Jessica, did you want to talk about some of the other things we talked about? I can jump in too.
You're doing great. I mean, I think we had been sort of urged to speak with our representative commissioners about the standard of review. So we talked about that a bit too, and just what would be required of council members to look at that again. And
yeah, we're good. We're going to send the latest report to them from the work group that we had. We kind of presented it like we talked about at the retreat, in the sense that, there is sort of an anticipation that, you know, the standard would be changed with a new oversight body. But is there a window of opportunity to kind of, see how it works, since we don't know how long it's going to be before the new oversight body is there. And whether there's enthusiasm for kind of, having some changes before the really big changes come. And that could be in quite a few years, and there would be real advantages to doing that now. And he seemed to be really interested in that idea. And so we'll send that report and then talk about it again at our March meeting. We meet every other month. They brought up some issues themselves that they would be interested in potentially having on the agenda for our next meeting. But one thing that they really did push for is they want to know what the interaction is between the CRC and the new body that will be that's started in December. And so, you know, they're eager for us to kind of report back on what the relationship there is. And we also had a really good conversation about the recommendations that we can make from an appeal, and you know, the potential to have perhaps more accountability or transparency with regards to things like debriefing. You know, as we talked about in the retreat, you know, we don't hear anything about when we recommend a debrief. Even learning like it happened on this date would be more information than we have currently. And there's a lot of potential to do a lot more with that if possible. That's not even adding anything to our scope of recommendations, but just a little bit more communication and transparency and accountability. It was a good conversation. I feel I'm really impressed with their interest. I mean, I've met with just one other commissioner over the years, but just like there's a lot of like appetite to learn to, and you know, really into the specifics of what's going on. And I'm really pleased with their like enthusiasm for these meetings. Anything else, Jessica?
No, agreed. I've been really impressed by their interest in moving conversations forward. So.
Good to hear. Thank you all for doing that and for the report back. And I think that's a good model for what others can expect to do in their meetings with their commissioners. Now you have this one pager that you can bring to talk about the protest report. I would really love for us to create a one pager on the standard of review. I'm not sure if that's something that policy or outreach or maybe even recurring audit, frankly, could just take on. Does that feel like something that we could arrange to have one of those two work groups work on that? It's kind of hard for us as a whole group to do it. So I think a work group taking that on would be great. Thoughts about that?
Yeah, it seems like that could, I mean, seems like policy and outreach could do it. I mean, that body put it together initially. I mean, I think the commissioners wouldn't mind having like, you know, the little bit of a meatier version, but so I think we don't need to hesitate to send that one. But I think in general, having a one pager is a really good idea.
Okay. So that'd be great. Maybe then, Julie, if you could bring that to your meeting tomorrow and talk about adding that to y'all's task list. I agree that we can just, of course, send them the full report. And the one pager can be not only as like a quick touch thing for them to see, but also for us to use to talk about what we want to communicate about what we're asking with the standard review. So I think that should be the goal of that, what that page says. Cool. Any other questions about that? Meetings with commissioners? Okay. With that, we'll go ahead and move into public comment. So members of the public, please use the raise hand feature and we will invite you to come and speak. And Taylor, also your job is to take time. So we'll give folks 3 minutes to speak. And first up, we have Debbie Iona. Ms. Iona, please speak.
Sorry, there's several steps you have to take before you can unmute yourself because all these things happen. So I just wanted to say how grateful I am that that Ms. Katz and Ms. Falk brought up the issue of the standard of review with Commissioner Mapps. We've really been, the league I know has been really been hoping that you would start moving forward on that, on trying to sell that idea. And it's just great to hear that you did it and that you got some positive response, it sounds like. So I hope to encourage the rest of you to do the same in your meetings. That's it, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Iona. Sorry, hold on. Okay. All right, and then we've got Mr. Handelman.
Uh, Hi, good evening. This is Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. I use he, him pronouns. I am glad to see you meeting again. It's been since October since you had a meeting. And there's quite a lot of things going on out in the community. One of them, as I noted in the chat, is that there were two police shootings back to back in December, and the director's report skipped over the one that was fatal, the one of Brandon Keck on December 6th. And I hope that IPR and Internal Affairs and everybody and the detectives are investigating that case, even though it didn't appear in the report. And overall, I think I've told you all the history of the director's report before, where the first director would say everything verbally and we would not be able to track it because he was talking too fast and we didn't have any pieces of paper. Then they started putting them onto paper, and so we get to hear it and read it at the same time. And now we're just getting the piece of paper, and basically the staff is saying, you can read it yourself. So I think the ideal one was the one in the middle where you get the piece of paper and it gets read into the record so we can hear what's going on. The last section of the director's report is about the complaints about protests, and it continues to list how many there are and how many have gone through the system, but not any of the outcomes. And as far as we know, there's only been three sustained findings of any kind in the last year and a half. And two of them were ones where the chief overrode the police review board in crowd cases. I'm hoping that IPR can add that to the director's report, what the outcomes are of these cases. In terms of discussing stuff as a group, I think that, the CRC is assigned to do the oversight part of the system. And I think the PCCP is better suited to do things like talk about budget. But, obviously you can decide what you want to talk about. I think it's better for you to be talking about things like related to the accountability system more directly. And I think you all might know that I'm a commissioner on that commission that's designing the new board. And I'm sort of restricted in what I'm supposed to say because I can't speak on behalf of the commission. But speaking as myself and as a commissioner, I think I would like to see CRC members start showing up at these meetings. A former member, Dr. Silver, was at the last one. So far, it's mostly about organizing how things are going to go. But I think especially once we get into the more detailed stuff, it would be great to have CRC members at those meetings.
Mr. Handelman,
yes.
Oh, can I ask a follow-up? Because I just don't even know how to get information about it. How can we get information to know when the meetings are? Because I was looking and I missed when that meeting was.
I understand. I put the link to that that group in the chat, but I can paste it in again when I'm done with my comments.
Okay.
If you didn't see that.
Thanks.
And as I noted too, I'm not sure, there's no way to download the chat today, not for participants anyway. So if there's a way for that to be shared, because there's a lot of links in there right now. Okay, thank you. So since you haven't had any meetings since October, there's been no opportunity for you to come back and review the case that was heard in October of 2020, where the CRC recommended two change findings and sent one allegation back for more investigation. And the last meeting, it was reported that the IPR didn't think there was any new information and that they thought you should just close the case. I brought up the fact that the protocols say when you send it back for more investigation, it has to come back because you never voted on whether you agreed with the first finding. This is Sergeant Raina's case. I know she's on the line tonight. Maybe she'll speak more to this. But, regardless of whatever else is going on, I realize there are a lot of other stuff. I have two more things I just want to say quickly. It's important for you to follow your own protocols. Okay, so my two last points are, the new Cop Watch newsletter, the People's Police Report, is out. If we're in person, I could hand it to you in person. It'll be up online soon. I'll let you know when it is, send you a link. But the last thing is that Ms. Falk referred to a discussion that happened at the retreat about the standard of review, which is business of this committee, and it should not have happened in a retreat where the public wasn't invited. And I don't know what to do about that at this point, but I'm kind of disturbed to hear that you were discussing business at a meeting that the public wasn't invited to. And those are the end of my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. To your last comment, we did not discuss business at that retreat. I'm not sure what you said, Julie, but we definitely were not discussing business. It was get to know you type stuff. Okay. And then lastly, and sorry, Taylor, I had taken up some of his time, so I just figured we'd give it back to him. So
I tried to pause it too, because I figured that should take account of a question, but it did. Like, I paused it and then it was, yeah, we gave him about 4 minutes. So,
okay, got it. Thank you. All right. And last up, we have Liani Reyna to speak. Go ahead.
Hello, y'all. Can you hear me? All right, thank you. I'm Leon Urena, retired Portland Police Sergeant. I continue to participate in city meetings because I care about the well-being of Portland. I worked hard to make Portland resilient. And I see the PPB continues to struggle with disparate treatment and retaliation. The Commissioner Hardesty Brian Hunziker matter is disturbing. I've been following that. And I understand those challenges. I appreciate efforts of accountability and recommend the CRC push for actionable change and not empty lip service. I observe the PPB treats its citizens the same way they treat each other. So you can predict how the public will be treated based on how the police treat their coworkers, subordinates, and colleagues. This is why accountability is so important. Keep pushing for tangible accountability and not false rhetoric. Policies don't work if they're not enforced. Sometimes good people do bad things, but bad people do even worse things. Last year in Marco Island, Florida, the city manager investigated his police chief and fire chief for misconduct related to the COVID vaccine. The investigation was completed in just 1 month and both chiefs were suspended for 30 days. The accountability was swift, decisive, fair, equitable, and demonstrated everyone would be held accountable despite their rank. Portland could take lessons from Marco Island, because this is how you build trust internally and externally. Thank you for the work you all do. I really appreciate it. Have a good night.
Thank you. Okay. And thank you, Mr. Handelman, in the chat. Everyone, please look at the link for the Police Accountability Commission. Thanks, I totally missed that. And also December was like, I wasn't doing much in December. So that's also part of it. Yes, I agree with Mr. Handelman that it would be great if we could just get engaged with that and start attending. Obviously, I don't expect everybody to attend every single meeting because I know I personally can't go to all the PSEP meetings, for example, but it would be good to at least try to have one CRC representative. And my expectation too, if you are attending those meetings, are to at least take some kind of notes or something that you can bring back so that we're just keeping that communication flowing back to us. So if we could, can we agree to that? That we'll try our best to go. We can put a more formal system into of it later, but my general expectation is that we are attending those and that we're bringing that information back. Cool. Okay. On that note, I think we are at the end, unless there's anything else CRC members would like to say, ask. Are they recorded? I don't know, but I imagine so. And I'm looking at their past meetings and hearings page, and it doesn't seem to have. Oh, wait, maybe it does.
I can send you the links that we shared in the chat box if that works for everybody who's in the meeting today.
Oh, I guess I see the website. I know that a lot of agencies or a lot of committees record their meetings for, you know, posterity purposes, and I didn't see it. So that was just a general question for perhaps Mr. Handelman. I didn't see any links to recorded meetings. I was wondering if they plan to do that in the future.
Yeah, I can ask Samir. I'm going to be seeing them next week, so I can ask too. So I'll bring that back. I see a request from Mr. Handelman to have one more minute to speak. I would put that to the group. Would people like to hear from Mr. Handelman for one more minute?
Yes.
All right. In that case, let me go ahead and put you back. Okay, there you are.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. In November, several community members took the communications slot at City Council, and we're all involved in the Joint Terrorism Task Force campaign. But our goal was to get the mayor to agree to let the public testify when reports are presented to council, such as the crowd control one that was presented in September, and we weren't allowed to speak there. And much to my surprise, the mayor decided on the spot that all reports from now on going forward will allow public testimony. So that will be very good for your group, as well as the JTTF report that's supposed to come out later this month, and hopefully any other group like yours, the auditors, anybody else is going to present reports to council. So thank you for your time.
Cool. That is good to hear. Thanks for letting us know. And with that, we are all done. Thank you, everybody. Next month is an appeal. Please start reading the documents now. I'm also telling myself that it's a long one. So make sure you're prepared. And then good luck with everybody in the work groups, and I'll see you in February. Thanks all.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, everybody.